This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we will talk with the pollster and demographer Elliot Stonecipher. He's been involved in Louisiana politics for many years. He was once Buddy Romer's pollster. He'll comment on Edwin Edwards entering the congressional race, candidate for the 6th District seat being vacated by Bill Cassidy. The announcement from Governor Edwards will come Monday at the Press Club of Baton Rouge. Also, Bill Cassidy is seeking the U.S. Senate seat held by Mary Landrieu. That election is November 4th. We're getting closer, and we'll talk with Elliot Stonecipher about Mary Landrieu's chances for a fourth term. And Governor Bobby Jindal gives every indication that he will spend as much or more time running for president in the next 2 years as he will governing the state. We'll talk about it. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your local dial outside the area. Please call 877-217-5757. Inkster Show at WRKF.org works online. Good to have you with us, and we're joined by Elliot Stonecipher, the veteran pollster and demographer who's been around Louisiana politics now for more than four decades, and he has some ideas about where we're going as a state and the players that we'll see on the political scene in the next few years. Good morning, Elliot Stonecipher.
Good to be here, Jim, always.
Well, let's begin with Monday at the Baton Rouge Press Club. Governor Edwin Washington Edwards, the four-term former governor, age 86, soon to be 87, he will announce his candidacy for Congress as a 6th District hopeful in the district being vacated by Congressman Bill Cassidy. Your thoughts about the, what is it, maybe this is the fifth coming, of, not the second coming, but the fifth coming of Edwin Washington Edwards.
You know, it's interesting. I have to divide my feelings up, Jim, between two parts of the political world and our reaction to it. On the entertainment side, it's very, very interesting to think about Edwin Edwards being in that race or any such race at this point in his life and in this point in our history. It will have tremendous entertainment value. The other side of me, though, is much more reflective, much more, or let's say less sanguine about what damage it does to Louisiana, and I've written this publicly, of course, for Edwin Edwards to yet again be representing the political efforts, if you will, of the state as the nation and the world sees it. I don't think it's helpful for Louisiana. I think it's something that, as I said in the piece that I wrote, it's very difficult for us to turn the corner in Louisiana on the perception that we are, and sometimes almost objectively measured, the idea that we're the most corrupt state in America. We're going to give that whole round. We're going to go through another round of people saying that and thinking that about us. And past all that, Jim, I think the way the district breaks down and the many, many people that are probably going to be in the race, I think Edwin Edwards runs a good race, and I would say that that means he has a chance to be in the runoff. I can't imagine how that is in any way good or helpful for Louisiana. So that side of me wishes, of course, he would not do this.
Yeah, I think you're right. He quite likely will make a runoff, and he's been discounted before. But it would seem it would be hard for him to win an election straight up against an opponent who does not have the past that Governor Edwards does. The governor, of course, he was in public life a long time, and when you're in it as long as he was, you're bound to make some enemies, and he has that conviction in federal court that resulted in an 8.5-year prison term. He spent one-tenth of his life behind bars. It is curious that here is a man who will be a viable candidate, could even win this election, and Elliot, he can't even vote for himself.
Right. I think the other part of this, Jim, that everyone can ponder, and it's not something that we can expect to ever know with certainty, but I think ultimately we're going to find out that this is Edwin Edwards knowing he's not going to win a seat in Congress, but running for something else, and not just the fun of it to him. I think this is a part of something that others of us are watching statewide that really have to do with Mary Landrieu's campaign for re-election to the U.S. Senate. That is on the ballot the same date, of course, November 4th, By the way, nobody qualifies for any of these races until 20th to 22nd of August, so a lot of things can happen. But up in Shreveport here, we are hearing a lot about Senator Landrieu recruiting people who are very close to her politically, and that probably understates the case, being on that same ballot around the state to maximize black turnout. And remember, that is something that Mary Landrieu literally must do to win another seat in the Senate. She got over 52% of the vote with Barack Obama on the ballot in 2008. She's never done that well since she was elected in 96. She didn't do that well then. She barely won. She didn't do that well in 2002. I believe we're going to see that candidates like Cedric Glover, the outgoing mayor in Shreveport, very close to Mary Landrieu, he'll be on the ballot in the 4th District. We believe maybe Jamie Mayo, also very close to Senator Landrieu, the mayor of Monroe, may even be on the ballot in the PSC race. I think Edwin Edwards being on the ballot in the 6th District is a very good example of something that fits and maybe explains why he's doing this. It would definitely raise, I think there's no question, it raises African-American turnout. I think that's exactly what the Democrat Party and Mary Landrieu need. So if you think about that possibility, it at least gives us some explanation other than the entertainment value for why Edwin Edwards might be doing this.
Okay. Well, in 2017, when Edwin Edwards could be seeking his second term as a congressman in the second go-around on Capitol Hill, he'll turn 90 years old that year, and Governor Jindal could quite possibly be the man who takes the oath of office as president of the United States and leader of the free world on January 20th, 2017. So it could be an interesting time for Louisiana if these politicos get their way. You mentioned 2008. Mary Landrieu, as you stated, Elliot, she got 52%, a little over that, in the race that was against John Kennedy for her third term in the U.S. Senate. Same day, same ballot, one candidate away, Barack Obama, who won a national landslide against John McCain. He got under 40% in Louisiana. She ran 13 points better than he did, or close to it. How do you explain that?
I think it's what we all hear and know. I heard it this week from a very good friend of mine here who I think a lot of people believe, as I do, is a Republican, a active Republican. He was explaining to me that he is among the many, many Republicans, he believes, and I think there's evidence of this, who believe that Mary Landrieu brings home the bacon to the extent that she's better than somebody like Congressman Cassidy or somebody like Representative Hollis or Rob Manis. I mean, I think it's always been the same thing. It's been, do you believe that Mary Landrieu, net-net, is better for Louisiana than whoever it is that runs against her? And that is exclusive of political party. And I think we're seeing plenty of signs of that, and I think we're going to see much, much more of that before August. And I'll give you an example. I saw what Senator Landrieu was doing in her questioning of Secretary of State John Kerry in the last 48 hours about the Keystone Pipeline. President Obama has to make that decision ultimately. He's withholding the approval. No one that I speak with inside the Beltway believes that it's not going to be approved. The issue is, when will it be approved? I can see Mary Landrieu taking credit for Keystone Pipeline before this election happens. That would go along with her recently announced chairmanship of Senate Energy. I mean, I think we underestimate in Louisiana, most people do, just what a degree of insider in Washington, D.C. Mary Landrieu is. I would say she is the insider's insider. If you believe in earmarks, you like Mary Landrieu. If you believe in federal spending, bar none, as long as we get our share and then some here, you're for Mary Landrieu. If you've ever benefited from the contracts that she shepherds through the federal pipeline to individuals and companies, you're for Mary Landrieu.
Okay, but what you're saying, couldn't that also have been said about the person who preceded her, Bennett Johnston, who was there 24 years and was also chair of the Senate Energy Committee? He brought home a lot of bacon, too.
He did. And it was a completely, and yes, that comparison is absolutely correct. What's not comparative is the atmosphere politically here and in America. Then what Bennett Johnston was doing was competitive. He was doing what all senators did. He was doing what the most powerful members of the House of Representatives did. Today, we are supposedly in America in a place where we've come to recognize that runaway federal spending is not good, that bringing home the bacon, and in Mary Landrieu's cases, I would say the whole hog, that maybe that's not good. We're supposed to be in a different era where a different standard is applied, and I don't think we are in Louisiana, and I believe that's the point. I don't know of another state in America, and I mean this literally, with the possible exception of maybe a West Virginia, where a Mary Landrieu gets reelected in 2014 in America. I don't think it happens, and I think we're about to have a good test of that, of course, on November 4th nationwide. I think she's in a very good position to win here, and I just don't think that would be the case almost anywhere else in America. It's about us accepting that standard, and I think that's what's different. By the way, this new Hickman poll, which I assume we're going to be talking about, bears out that she's running, I think, much better than the Republicans believe she is.
Why do you say that?
Well, I don't know Hickman. I got to tell you, this Hickman analytics poll that came out was actually run back in from the third week of February, I guess, so it's about a month old. But that's a Democrat Party polling firm. They apparently are polling for many of the Democrats in the Senate who are on the bubble this year. Their poll was only a 400 sample. But even given that, when you drill down in the numbers, you see that among African Americans in the poll, the vote for Mary Landrieu in the poll itself was 65%. Now, she's going to get 95%. So she is underrepresented in those poll numbers, and it ended up with Cassidy at 46, Landrieu at 42. She's underrepresented at least 9 net points. 30% more African Americans will vote for her than the poll says. They will be about 30% of the turnout.
So that equals 9 points, yeah.
Right. So now that's the good news for her. The bad news for her is that according to the poll, her effective recognition is 95% among the voters. Cassidy's is 42. So Cassidy is not nearly well enough known yet for it to be an apples and apples comparison. I'll be the first one to admit that. But I don't think most Republicans in Louisiana who are on the reform side of the equation here and in America, I don't think they understand how well she is running in this race.
Now, there are other Republicans. You noted Paul Hollis, son of Ken, is running, who's a state representative, and Rob Manus. By the way, I called him for a whole show. I called him Manus, and he corrected me after the show. He says his name is Manus.
Colonel, I am corrected, too. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of people are calling him Manus, but he is the Tea Party candidate. I would think both of those candidates could be popular, and both are noting that 10 years ago, Congressman Cassidy was still a Democrat, and here's a man who wrote letters to the editor attacking President Reagan and supporting Michael Dukakis back in 1988. Somewhere along the way, Congressman Cassidy had a change of heart. Is that enough to convince the Republican flock that he is the real deal?
You know, I think it's interesting because it refers to a very important part of his candidacy. By the way, the first campaign I ever worked in as a literal teenager, older teenager, was for Edwin Edwards, and I was actually a delegate to a state Democrat convention at one time. I don't think we get to hold ourselves very much culpable for things we did early in our understanding of politics. I think that's probably the case.
How old were you then, Elliot?
I was 19, as
okay,
I remember.
Okay, well, Cassidy was 31 when he supported Dukakis.
I got you.
And he was, he was 45 when he supported Mary Landrieu in 2002 over three Republicans.
I understand. I think he gave her $1,000, as I heard it.
Yes, he did. 297-5633 is your number. 877-217-5757. Back in 90 seconds with Elliot Stonecycle. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, 297-5633, inkstershow@wrkf.org. If you'd like to reach us online in our conversation with Elliot Stonecipher, the well-known pollster and demographer based in Shreveport, who follows Louisiana politics intently and intensely. Frank Barnett producing, and a question from Mark in Mid-City. He says, how much of a issue will Senator Landrieu's support of Obamacare be in the Senate race, which is now, 235 days away from the election day of November 4th? What do you think?
Well, I think it has, of course, a very real effect, and we just saw in the special congressional race in Florida that there is a confirmation, and I don't think it's a very strong one, but certainly in that particular race, we get our first sign that Obamacare is a very, very serious negative. I think the reason that I am not nearly as much on board this idea that it's determinative in the Mary Landrieu race is what we were discussing earlier. I think there are candidates for statewide office in Louisiana who are Democrats and who would have a very difficult time because of Obamacare. And then I think there's Mary Landrieu. I think there's a completely different standard. And I am among those who believes that Mary Landrieu is the personification in politics of the old-style politician who takes care of her friends and punishes her enemies. I mean, she is absolutely the poster child for what most people seem to be saying we don't want in politics anymore. The truth is,
couldn't that be said, though, of Senator Bitter, of Governor Jindal?
In a different context, it is said of both of them. I think the context that I'm referring to, Mary Landrieu almost stands alone. I don't know anybody else in the United States Senate. I don't know any governor in America, except maybe Rahm Emanuel,
mayor.
He's a mayor, not a governor. Any other national leader, I should say. I don't think anyone better represents the old way of doing things than Mary Landrieu. I think that's a single kind of title that she holds. But what's important is that she's proud to do it.
Okay.
And I think it pays dividends for her here. So I think that overrides the Obamacare stain to a large degree.
877-217-5757. We'll go to the phone lines in just a moment. Elliot Stonecipher, the guest. Mary Landrieu, you may remember, and certainly Elliot does, in 1995 she ran for governor and finished third behind Mike Foster and Cleo Fields. Buddy Romer finished fourth in that race, but Landrieu just missed a runoff, might have won, but she came back the next year and she won her U.S. Senate seat. But in that governor's election, which was, 19 years ago, she would have been, she's 58 years old, almost 59 now. She would have been 39 years old. She was talking about how she was tough, and Elliot just said she has a reputation for being tough. Here's how she talked about her childhood and how she stood up for her eight siblings, including the New Orleans mayor, Mitch Landrieu.
As the oldest of nine children, I have been a fighter all of my life. I've often had to stand up to bullies in the neighborhood to protect my brothers and sisters.
All right, I'm sure Mitch is glad to hear that. Mary talk about how she used to fight his battles.
I think he'd be surprised, actually. It is. I did a interview that I remember very well when she was running in 2002 on National Public Radio and the Deborah Elliott Show, and I believe that's the way she says her first name. And I stressed in that interview that in my experience, there had been no politician that more deserves the moniker, if you will, warrior, than Mary Landrieu. I mean, she, once engaged, everyone must understand that anything that she believes is an okay thing to do, and it's only by her personal standard, she will do. That has caught so many people absolutely off guard in running against her, in dealing with her on major issues.
What are you talking about?
She's tough beyond comparison. And I think the way she does political business, for example, we have a mayor up here named Cedric Glover. Cedric Glover was elected mayor of Shreveport in 2006. He never would have been elected had Katrina not happened, because Katrina's ejection of an awful lot of core Democrat Party voters from New Orleans meant that Mary Landrieu had, from the time of the storm to her reelection in 2008, she had to prove to all the political soothsayers that nothing that happened because of the storm was going to keep her from being reelected. One of the ways she wanted to demonstrate that was to come to Shreveport, come to Monroe, go to other urban areas where there are a lot of African-American votes, and prove that even if she didn't know much about the town, she could get her candidate elected. She came to Shreveport, rolled up her sleeves. This is a second-term U.S. senator. Came to Shreveport, rolled up her sleeves, brought in African-American leaders from all over the country, some of whom didn't even know where Shreveport was, and got Cedric Glover elected mayor. We have had, therefore, a mayor of Shreveport since 2006 who is first and foremost a political operative of Mary Landrieu. He has not been the mayor of Shreveport first and foremost, any more than Bobby Jindal has been the governor of Louisiana first and foremost. Cedric Glover's function was first and foremost to be the person taking care of political business in Shreveport for Mary Landrieu. In my history, not to mention the history that I study, I have never known of the idea that a second-term U.S. senator would do something like that. But she did it to prove that she was not going to have problems getting those votes one way or another when she ran in 2008, and she proved it. I mean, there was no question. She is absolutely going to do things that most candidates will not do.
877-217-5757 and 297-5633. Elliot Stonecipher saying Mary Landrieu plays hardball politics, and I must say that some people who are listening to this probably like her more than they did before. That's quite often the nature of the game. If you're going to get in it, politics ain't beanbag, Elliot Stonecipher.
Exactly.
Okay, Lewis and Lafayette. Lewis, good morning. You're on with Elliot Stonecipher.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, let me ask Mr. Stone. What is his name? Stonecipher?
Yes, sir.
Don't you play to win?
Don't you play to win?
Oh, yes, of course. I don't play by those rules, but I do play to win, yes.
Well, I can name one of the Senator Mitch McConnell. He do the same thing.
He did the same thing in terms of what was done to get Cedric Glover elected mayor.
No, I said Mitch McConnell played hardball too. He do anything to win too, but that's not my question. Why are you concerned about the black vote?
Pardon?
Why are you concerned about the African American vote?
Well, it's the core of Mary Landrieu's vote. It's the core of Edwin Edwards' vote. And it's very much what will determine if she is reelected.
And you wouldn't do the same?
No, I would never, ever do the things in the African-American community to be elected that are routinely done by Mary Landrieu. That's a correct statement.
Well, Landrieu and Edwards, in fact, Edwards will need close to 40% of the white vote to win that congressional race if he gets in a runoff. Landrieu will need about 35% of the white vote to win against Congressman Cassidy or Representative Hollis or Colonel Maness. Can either one of those do that? And obviously, that's a huge number when you're talking about 35% of the white voters in Louisiana. You're talking about several hundred thousand people who are potential candidates that Mary Landrieu will be trying to persuade to vote for her again.
Yes, and I think the Landrieus also prove, and we see this particularly in Mitch Landrieu's races for mayor in New Orleans, the ability to do exactly that, to cross over racially much more effectively than most other candidates, in this case white candidates. That's what the Landrieus do. It's not just that they get 95-96% of the African American vote. It is that they do, some way or another, based on something or the other that people like about politics and politicians, they will cross over into the white vote, their vote, quote-unquote, every bit as effectively, although different ways, than they do with the African-American vote. It is absolutely the core of the definition for the Landru dynasty in Louisiana.
297-5633. Suzanne writes to InksterShow@WRKF.org. Women's rights in every area trumps every other reason I vote for a candidate, hence I will vote for Senator Landru. Now, in some races, abortion rights candidates in Louisiana would not do well, but Senator Landru has been a champion of abortion rights and has survived and perhaps even thrives as a result of that in some places and other issues involving women, including equal pay. What do you think about this, with women being at least 50% of the electorate?
Well, you know, it's back to the problem that the Republican Party is fighting most aggressively for itself right now. I don't care whether it's women or whether it is particularly Latinos, but in any case, so-called immigrants. Those are the places that Republicans are most under the gun, and nobody proves why they are any better than Mary Landru does. She is going to get the vote of the women who care most, just as the person who wrote in said. That is very much one of her strengths, and it always has been. I think what is determinative, though, is different. She gets the Democrat Party coalition vote segments like many, many Democrats get. What she does uniquely, and the reason she has a very good chance of winning another term in Louisiana the way it stands right now, is that she absolutely gets more support from the other party's top people than anyone we've seen. I don't know how to go poll leading Republicans in Louisiana, but I know that leading Republicans in Louisiana who hold other offices in the state, who own major businesses, et cetera, they will support Mary Landru. They'll sign checks and put their names on them. That is the secret to her ability to stay a Democrat statewide office holder in a state that does not elect Democrats statewide any longer. It's her ability to convince people that there's something in it for them. It's a very personal thing. If Mary Landru gets elected, I benefit. That's where she does something that we just don't see done anymore, Jim.
297-5633 for Elliot Stonecipher, a pollster, demographer, and a man who, if you can hear, he doesn't hold back. He tells us what he thinks. Now, Bobby Jindal, who has been one of Elliot's targets, and I say this, he has, I think, analyzed him in a way in which others have and has come to the conclusion that the governor has not minded the store in Louisiana as much as he has pursued his national ambition. Well, he, surprise, surprise, the governor has formed a political action committee called Stand Up to Washington, and he gives every indication, Elliot Stonecipher, that he at some point soon will announce his candidacy for president of the United States. Does this really matter with him in his seventh year of 8 years in office as governor?
No, and I think, you know, I recently did an interview with a reporter for Mother Jones magazine, very, very much, of course, on the political left, and I found it very easy to have the discussion with that reporter, as I do others around the country who are taking a look again at Bobby Jindal. Everyone now, unlike in the past, unlike, of course, when he was on this same campaign trail in 2008, they know more of the Bobby Jindal story. And they understand that he did not do a good job, is not doing a good job, as governor of Louisiana. I think that changes everything for him. I think he is trying to set up whatever he's going to do next. That's typical. I think he's going to kind of be in the discussion again for the vice presidential nomination on the Republican side. I believe that's kind of his political target. But along the way, he will once again show Republicans, his supposed base, of course, that when it comes right down to it, it's his ambition that matters the most. And I believe the way we'll see that next is in the same discussion we were just having, the Mary Landru race. I think it's remarkable that the person most in the way of Mary Landrieu being reelected is a Democrat. His name is Barack Obama. The person who is absolutely helping her the most is a Republican. His name is Bobby Jindal. Bobby Jindal will not help a Republican candidate against Mary Landrieu. Now, we would think that ultimately that probably would be Bill Cassidy. We know he has reasons, kind of tracing back to his right-hand guy, Timmy Teeple, not to help Cassidy. But my point is, Bobby Jindal is only taking care of Bobby Jindal's business. He's not taking care of Louisiana's business. He's not taking care of the Republican Party's business. And I think that has hurt him very much on the national stage. And he doesn't seem to be changing that, Jim. I don't think there's anything about the way he does business that we can see changing.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on with Elliot Stonecipher.
Yeah, so do you think that the Landrieus have actually earned a black vote? I mean, back in the early 60s when Moon was running for a legislature, he was for desegregation, and that was very unpopular at the time.
You know, when you get to the subject of how they get black votes, that's when the discussion gets so sensitive that everybody fades. I've never faded. I think the essence of the discussion is this. As a part of old-style politics, particularly in Louisiana, but not exclusively, a lot of things have always been done by Democrat candidates, and some Republicans, frankly, to get the quote-unquote black vote that, frankly, I don't even think are legal. I've watched that happen for so many years. And by the way, the statewide campaign of Buddy Romer to be governor in 1987, which I worked on, one of the things that all of us worked on the hardest in that campaign was to try to get Buddy Romer elected governor, and I know there's plenty of heat about that subject, but to get him elected without doing those things, quote-unquote, on the street to get black votes, that were traditional in Louisiana. Those things involved the use of money. It used to be cash. I hope it's not anymore. It involves a lot of things that mean that African-American voters are not treated as single voters. They are treated as a mass to be turned out by handlers of the black vote.
Okay,
I find that deeply offensive. I never participated in it. That is still alive and well in Landrieu campaigns, and I think we've got to acknowledge that.
But politics is a tough game. Dave Treen is the most ethical man I've ever encountered in politics, and yet when he was elected governor and beat Lewis Lambert in a razor-tight race, he appointed four other candidates, all of whom were Democrats at the time, to high places in his administration, Bubba Henry, Jimmy Fitzmaurice, Paul Hardy, Sonny Mouton. They all got jobs. Isn't that the same kind of thing that you're talking about with candidates and office holders protecting people and benefiting people who help them?
Yes and no. Yes, it is in the spirit of it. It's the same. But in the specifics of how you take an individual's right to vote, take an individual's vote and completely missed.
All right, hold on. We'll be back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Pollster Elliot Stonecipher is with us, and we're talking politics. And in Louisiana, politics often has a racial component because now whites are supporting Republicans overwhelmingly, and black voters are continuing to support Democrats. Bobby Jindal, by the way, a few years ago, said that Republicans should compete for every vote, and that he was doing that. He lives a mile or so from Scotlandville. I haven't seen the governor in Scotlandville in a long time, Elliot Stonecipher.
And see, that's the saddest part of this. And by the way, we should always mention this. Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama are completely unique in this conversation in American politics. A third of our population, roughly, a third of our registered vote, therefore, is African American. That's 2.5 times the national average, if you will. How we do or do not solve the problem of race in Louisiana is far, far more an issue than it is anywhere else. Bobby Jindal, as a Republican, knows he's not going to campaign for African-American votes. We just did congressional reapportionment.
Well, so what he was saying is he's going to compete for every white vote.
Well, yeah, that is what he's saying. He certainly did not believe, he didn't mean, he didn't intend to ever campaign for black votes. That is at the heart of the evidence that we're not making any progress here. And we did it again with congressional reapportionment. Whether it was the black caucus, which was perfectly happy with making sure we had one African-American member among our six members to Congress, or whether it was the Republicans in the legislature who had offered up the plan that did that officially, people who were elected to the state legislature, House or Senate, were all on board with keeping everything completely separated. And that's what we do. When we get in a statewide campaign, therefore, Democrats can get African-American votes, 96%, 97%. Whites don't generally get that kind of vote. The crossover vote of candidates into the white vote is much more effective than the other direction. And it keeps us separated. And it keeps us warring with each other politically. That's what we're about to see again in this Senate race. So we play it out over and over and over again. And most people who are new to this discussion, I find out, Jim, are not even really aware of the statistics or the history. So every race, like Mary Landrieu's race, it all comes back to the top, and some of us who have fought the war all the way along are still deeply offended. I am deeply offended on behalf of individual African-American voters. I know how they are treated by political candidates. I know how wrong it is, and we can't turn the corner.
297-5633, if you'd like to join the conversation for Elliot Stonecipher. Linda writes to inkstershow@wrkf.org. Elliot Stonecipher, she writes, appears to have some sort of personal grudge beyond politics with Mary Landrieu. Would you respond, Elliot?
No. I don't know. I'm not even sure what that refers to. I think what that is.
Well, you have run campaigns against her.
Oh, no, I've never done it.
Well, you were in the Romer campaign, weren't you, in 95?
No.
Okay.
No, I was not. I was involved strictly in commercial business then. I didn't work in that campaign at all.
All right.
No, not at all. I think I have said, and I hope this doesn't come across as what the writer is saying is personal, I don't believe in the style of politics that Mary Landrieu is keeping alive in Louisiana. I also don't believe that we should elect governors like Bobby Jindal, who never wanted to be governor in the first place. He really just wanted to be on the national stage. I think we all make a big mistake, and I'm a registered independent, or as we're called in Louisiana, and other. I think in 2014 in America, if we haven't come to understand that being partisan on either side is part of what has so severely damaged our state and nation, I think we're missing the calling. The calling is to look past the big headlines, look past the simplistic analysis, look past the emotion, and get to why do things not work anymore? And they don't. And on many fronts, statewide and nationally, we know they don't. I believe strongly that Mary Landrieu represents a way of doing political business that is very harmful. It's harmful for Louisiana, and it is harmful for the nation. I would say that if Bobby Jindal was doing what Mary Landrieu is doing.
Well, Democrats, not just Senator Landrieu, but any Democrat who's been elected statewide and in our lifetime has, well, since we had poll taxes and literacy tests and all that sort of thing, since there's been a substantial African-American vote, any Democrat has curried favor with African Americans. Democrats can't win elections statewide without black support. So why is what Senator Landrieu doing any different than, say, what Edwin Edwards did or what Richard Ayoub did? Just go down the list of Democrats who have preceded her.
I don't think it is, and I think maybe we're saying the same thing. I believe Mary Landrieu is the last practitioner standing, and I think that's the point. I think just because we had Democrat after Democrat in our history who paid tons of money, a lot of it cash, that went to elected officials who then quote-unquote, turned out African-American voters en masse, as if there were no people involved. Just a huge, in many cases, busloads of voters. They didn't have any idea what people were on the bus. Just because Democrat after Democrat since 1964, 1965, have done business that way doesn't make it any better today than it was when any of the other Democrats running statewide did it.
All right, Rancy in Millerville. Rancy, you're on with Elliot Stonecipher. Hi, Rancy.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Elliot Stonecipher, I have a question for you. It's historical. Aside from the old-fashioned Louisiana politics that you've been discussing, wasn't it the case that Moon Landrieu, as a young legislator from New Orleans, was a brave and strong supporter for civil rights legislation amidst nearly 100% against in the chambers? I have always assumed that those within the African American communities have never forgotten that, and that that has helped both Mary and Mitch in their political careers. Thank you.
I believe everything that you have said is accurate. It's my understanding of history that that is precisely the way the Landrieus and of course they were so perfectly positioned in New Orleans to do it. I think that is the history of the family, and I think it is absolutely the way those who know that history still view the family.
Okay. Steve Myers writes, Elliot can't be registered as an independent because it's not allowed in Louisiana. He can be no party but not independent.
I think what I said added to that was that actually here we're called others. So I'm an other.
You're an other.
Yes, sir.
You have been a Democrat, though.
I have. I have been a Democrat.
Have you been a Republican?
I don't think, well, technically, yes. I did that when I originally registered to vote when I was 18, and the Registrar of Voters was standing there, and he said, you can't do that, because if you do, you won't be able to vote. But I did try to register one time as a Republican, yes.
Okay.
He got me to change it, by the way. His name was Hugh Charles Mitchell. I'll never forget it.
Okay. It says, here's another listener. Can you ask Elliot if he has a website or blog? I enjoy his commentary very much. Jason David is the name of the listener.
Jason, almost everything that I write is posted on a blog. It is not mine, but the blog is forward-now.com.
Forward-now.com. Bob Mann, who you know well,
yes.
He has a column that will appear in NOLA.com that he has sent saying, Mary Landrieu may lose, but not because she supported Obamacare.
Once again, I agree with Bob.
You do?
I do. As I say, I just don't think it's determinative in this case.
Okay.
Now, I haven't read his piece yet, and I read all of them, so I will, but I got an idea where Bob's going.
Well, Mary Landrieu has been the most resilient of politicians, and I talked to Jason Berry on this show a few weeks ago, and we were talking off-air, and he said he thought she was a much more compelling figure in Louisiana politics right now than Edwin Edwards because of what she has done. Here you've got a woman who's pro-choice from New Orleans, who's a Democrat, and yet she keeps winning elections when all the other Democrats have fallen by the wayside. You're saying that there's some machine to the magic.
And, oh, absolutely.
Well, of course there is.
But most
politicians who've been around as long as she have political machines.
Well, and I think the point is very valid. I think she and Hillary Clinton stand out in my mind as the two Democrat politicians in America today who most do and say and are the things that the Democrat base loves. That puts Edwin Edwards in Louisiana in 2014 not even in the conversation. So I just don't think there's anything as politically dominant as the Landrieu group now.
Okay. Miriam in Innisfail writes that she thinks you're sliding the Democratic Party by referring to it as the Democrat Party.
You know, that's a piece of political correctness, Jim, that I admit I have never learned. I don't understand that. I'll just say this. when I say Democrat or Democratic, I think I do it based on rules of grammar. I don't
actually.
Do it
it's in the AP style book that it is the Democratic Party.
Oh well, I never read that style book, obviously, and all I know is that there are Democrats and there are Republicans. So when I get it wrong, it doesn't have anything to do with trying to slight anybody.
Well, I think this is something that is. Rush Limbaugh has done to irritate Democrats, and he's done a pretty good job of it by calling it the Democrat Party. But if it's a Democrat Party,
all of my career, it's been the Democrat Party. So maybe I'm showing my age.
But Mary Landrieu is a Democrat. She hasn't switched parties. Now a lot of these office holders, take John Alario for example. My goodness. He was Edwin Edwards' right-hand man, and now he's Bobby Jindal's right-hand man in the state Senate. Bill Cassidy, my guess is that if he thought he could have won as a Democrat, he would still be a Democrat. But he's doing what he thinks is necessary to win elections. And Mary Landrieu, who you've cited in her political machine, she's doing what she has to do to win elections. If you don't win, Elliot, you really can't do anything, can you?
No, that's true, but I am different. And let me just say this very clearly, Jim. I don't believe in win no matter how you do it, and that's my criticism. I think people, it's a little unfair for me to be doing this when the listeners don't have context, but for those of us who have been in the streets in these campaigns for decades and know the nitty-gritty, down and dirty of how it's done, a lot of things that have furthered Louisiana's image as a corrupt state happen on Election Day. They never were cleaned up, and I simply do not believe that anything is as important as not breaking the law. That's where I'm different, and that's one of the reasons I don't care whether it's a Republican or a Democrat who does it. It's just the curse that has held Louisiana back all the way back to the Longs. We haven't fixed it. We're not trying to fix it. People want Mary Landrieu based on whether or not there's something in it for them, and that's not going to turn the corner.
Here's something that I think is a viable discussion point in this campaign. Mary Landrieu has run statewide. This will be the seventh time, twice as treasurer, once in a race for governor, and now four times for U.S. Senate. And there are some people out there who have voted for her multiple times, and they're accustomed to voting for her. And it's kind of like rooting for a team. Once you start voting for somebody, it's a challenge to change that inertia if you're on the other side.
Absolutely. And I get that, but it is so foreign to me that I never quite know how to respond. It'll come across almost harsh. I live and breathe what goes into a person being elected. And what I learn and know very, very well is anytime we do the easy thing in a voting booth, and by the way, the first thing we do is the easiest. People go in and they vote their hates first.
Their hates?
Yes. Anytime we do the easy thing in picking a candidate, I believe we are part of the problem. We're not a part of the solution. So the fact that it is a knee-jerk response to vote for or against anyone, I think is just at the heart of why America is in the fix that it's in.
Tamara in Baton Rouge writes, perhaps we should start calling the Republican Party the Republic Party and see how that goes.
You know, I think what people really call Democrats and Republicans, we won't be chatting about on your show on the radio.
But in Louisiana, the independent bloc is growing. Nonetheless, Democrats are still almost 50% of the voting registration, but it's apparent that a lot of Democrats are voting for other parties, particularly the Republican Party.
Right, right. And you know, I think it's that way for a reason. I really am encouraged by the fact that more and more people, and there doesn't seem to be any kind of interruption in this trend, more and more people here and nationally are just finding out that in truth, the biggest joke that established politicians laugh at and tell about, all of us, is that we never figured out that it's only about who is in power and who is out of power. To them, it's not about Democrat and Republican, really. And that's how Congress ended up with an approval rating of about 9% right now. More people, and I believe it's the Internet, more people are finding out what the game really is.
All right, here's an analytical question is from Paul as we hit the finish line with Elliot Stone Cipher. What percent do you give Bobby Jindal in his quest to become president?
1%. Yes. I'm doing that to be polite.
1 out of 100.
Yes.
Okay. And what percent do you give Mary Landrieu?
50.
50%.
It's a coin toss.
So she has a 50% better chance. Actually, that's a lot more than 50. That's
Jim. You mean to be reelected? Yeah, I hope not.
Yeah,
president.
Yeah. But yes. I got you. Thank you, Elliot. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. We'll be back Monday. Until then, have a great weekend. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.